our worship leader today in what has been quite a week for Lloyd, as Naomi had significant surgery. And so we continue to pray for Naomi. We're thankful for that successful outcome, and we continue to pray for her healing and rest. And Lloyd, thanks for ministering in the midst of all you're experiencing. Thank you so much. Also want to just acknowledge, you know, what's going on in the life of our congregation. We continue to pray for Joyce and Glenn and the Shank family, the Martin family, for Jerry. Yesterday we had a memorial service of remembrance and celebrating the life of Naomi. Naomi Grace Martin. I didn't know her name was, her middle name was Grace. And we talk about how appropriate that name is, and what a beloved saint of God. The Bible says that precious in God's sight is the death of his saints. And her work is over, and we celebrate that she's in the presence of Jesus. And we just encourage you to pray for the family, because we are the ones, those of us who miss her and grieve her, now we have a tough time. But for Naomi, it's a eternal life. So we praise God for her life and are thankful. By way of sort of a pseudo-announcement, but also just a promotional kind of thing, I just want to encourage the women and the women's retreat. I don't know if as a man I'm allowed to say anything about the women's retreat, but I'm going to anyway. It's what is the date of that again? Who can tell me that? May 5 and 6. We just encourage women to be part of this. It's going to be a great experience. And we want to see our women be lifted up and have an experience, an enriching experience. So do not let finances get in the way. If you look at that, we have a provision there. There's assistance available. So please, if you want to go, please go. One other thing. I've talked about this before. This is a community mission opportunity for our church some time ago. I really see God in this. That Kobe's, it's Church of the Brethren Youth Services, they do parenting classes. And they came to us, a friend of ours, Maria Bowman, and Jim and Beth Lehman's daughter, teaches at Kobe's. She's a great teacher. And she, as a friend to Jen and I, she called us up and said, hey, I've got this grant money. I'm giving you first dibs on it. You want it? Got to use it by June? And we said, yeah, we'll take it. And then we started working out the details. That is starting the Wednesday after Easter, April 19, Wednesday night. We are looking to do suppers each night for these folks, and then the class, and also we'll be working at childcare as well. Those details are coming together, but there's going to be opportunities for you to get on board with this. We're going to be promoting it in the community. I reached out to one person about doing a meal, Chris Greenwalt. I said, you got first choice of any of these Wednesday nights? She said, I'll take the first one. So that was encouraging. First person I asked, we got a yes. And so we're going to go from there. We don't know how many it'll be, but we are looking to bless our community in this way. And some of our folks hopefully will participate in that as well. It's called Inspired Parenting. And we believe it's going to be, we're just trusting God. And we ask you to pray about this. We're going to keep this in front of you as a way to bless our community. And to parenting is tough. And we can use all the help we can get. So. You're right. It is. Well, this our story this morning from the scriptures. As we look at this story of the blind man who receives his sight. One of the real interesting parts about this story is Jesus is able to heal the blind man. But for these Pharisees who think they see clearly, actually they have blurry vision spiritually, but they just don't know it. Jesus is unable to help them. The blind man Jesus can heal, but those who think they see but do not, you can't help them. And the message for us is so clear here is that how important it is to know we're needy. That one of the real prerequisites for receiving sight from God, spiritual sight, receiving healing, receiving the good things that God has for us is to recognize our need. Yesterday at Celebration of Church Life, our moderator, Keith Weaver, he said, things are going very well in our conference right now, but we must maintain an attitude of humility. He said, the state of our conference is fragile. Why? Because we are all broken people who need Jesus. And I just thought that was such a good reminder for any of us that the posture of the believer must be, I am a person in need. I am blind and I need your sight. Without your vision, God, without your healing, God, I stumble around in the dark. And As we look at the a message for this morning, I really was drawn to Ephesians 5. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And there's this message about how much we, as God's people, need light to see spiritually. Now, I want to just throw out a few situations for you, and you can tell me if you've ever experienced this. You ever have that time where you're reading a book by a window, and starts to get dark, and you're there reading, and someone comes in the room and says, "You're reading in the dark. Don't you know? Flip a light on." And you're like, "Oh," they flip the light on, and then you can see. I remember as a kid, I'd be doing my homework in the corner somewhere, or reading a book, and my mom was always flipping lights on. You can't see there. Can't you see? You ever have that with your children? You ever have that with yourself? Now, I'm going to venture into areas where I'm not as much of an expert, but those of you who quilt and do that fine needlework, I'm really venturing out of my expertise here. I would imagine you need good light for that, don't you? I think. Dean Myers is here this morning. Dean, you need good light to tie flies. Pretty good, pretty important. Okay. I think about Tim Greenwalt works on road crews. And I'm amazed at nighttime when you drive by a road crew working. You ever see their lights? They're amazing. Part of me wants to say, can I have some of those lights for my backyard so I can keep working on my landscaping into the night in the summertime? And I don't know how the neighbors feel about that, but I've come to believe something. It's pretty obvious. Any job that's worth doing well, that someone is taking seriously, they're taking their lighting seriously. I've never witnessed surgery. We've had a number of surgeries take place with some of our people this week. I would imagine lighting is very, very important. Imagine you're having a pre-op consultation with a surgeon and you say, "I just have one more question. Are you going to have good lighting while you're operating on me?" And they'd probably say, "We've taken care of that." I would imagine it's right on, Harold, you can tell me, the lighting is right on the person's forehead or somehow it's very much attended to. Lighting matters. You need to see what you're doing. If one of the best ways to keep your house clean is to have dim lighting. Lighting matters. If the lighting isn't good, we just got new lights in the all-purpose room this year. Have you noticed that? My family was here for Christmas. My uncle said, "Did you get new carpet?" I said, "No, we just got new lights." Makes the carpet look new. It also makes our walls look, we see some of the blemishes on our walls. Lighting matters. But in the Christian life, I think that if there's anything you hear this morning, it's this. To live the Christian life, we need light to be able to see. And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And we're talking a little bit about my trip to Tanzania coming up this week. And I've been thinking a lot about that. It's on my mind, so it can't help but come up here. But, many, many years ago, missionaries from Europe and from North America went to Africa to share the gospel, to share the light of Jesus. And they invited people who didn't know Jesus, you could say walking in darkness, to come into the light of Jesus. And they did. People in many different African nations came to know the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And they are forever grateful to those missionaries who came and pointed to the light. But it's very interesting, as the years go by, what is happening sometimes today is some of these folks in African nations who are walking in the light, and they are hearing things from Europe and the church in North America, and their question they are raising to us is, "You who shared the light with us, are you continuing to walk in the light?" That's their question they're raising back for us in a variety of ways. And it's one of the reasons we see those relationships is so important. They're saying, "You taught us to open the scriptures and to be obedient to the word of God and to see it as the light of the world. And we hear about this you're approving and this you're saying. And we sense perhaps some lack of passion here and there. You who shared the light, will you walk in the light?" And that's the question for all of us. And their churches aren't perfect either, neither are ours. But goes to this sense of our sinful nature, doesn't matter where you're from in the world, that we tend to move away from the light. We tend to, you know, you're reading the book in the corner and you've got nice light and the sun goes down and you continue to read and you don't realize the light has diminished. It's human nature for us to move away from the light. And we are called to walk in the light. And if there's anything this morning I want you to hear, it's that we are called back to the light. To come before God and say, Lord, I'm walking in darkness. My vision is diminished. And I need a fuller revelation of your light in my life as I walk this path. One of the biggest things light does for us is it allows us to see clearly, to distinguish. When you walk in a pathway in the woods, when you have light, you can see what is dangerous, what tree you could walk into. You could be having a picnic somewhere with your children and it's dark and you can't even see that there's a big cliff nearby. You distinguish what is real and what is imagined. And I want to offer a few things here that I believe we need to pay attention to in our lives with regard to the light of the Lord. And the first is this very real one of being aware of those things that are dangerous to us spiritually, that we can't see if we aren't walking in the fullness of light of Jesus. We live in a world with many, many different choices. It's a complicated world. And all you have to do as an example of that is to try to paint your kitchen and see how many paint colors are available to you. And you say, where do I even begin? And is that not somewhat of a metaphor for what our lives are like these days? So many things coming at us. This you could do, this you could do. Try this. Your children have this book to read, and they have this program to do, and they have this app on your phone, and it's all there. All these things. How do we distinguish what is of God, what is good, what is life-giving, and that, and what is evil? It's very important. I think about one of the many ways we work out in our lives is, what are our children reading? And you see these books, and what does it mean to shine the light of Jesus on this book? And what is it telling us? That's just one of many areas in our lives where we need to say, God, what are you saying about this? Is this life-giving? Is this of God? Is this helping us to know Jesus better? Is this helping us to walk in our journey with Jesus? And I believe it's never easy. And there's a word that I love that I want to share with you this morning. Some of you have heard of it. It's called theophostic. Now, there's a type of counseling called theophostic, and I'm not here to advocate necessarily for that type of counseling or not, but I love the word, which means, theo means God, phostic means light. And what it basically means is letting the light of God shine on a situation. And to see what God's word, what is God saying? As God's light shines on this particular situation or that one, what is God saying about it? The light of God. And so often we're looking so many other places for wisdom and direction, and we're ignoring the light of God. The other thing I think is important to recognize is there are times when we can't see clearly where we have imagined fears. And the light of God that shines on a situation helps us to see, what do I need to be afraid of, and what should I not be afraid of? What does it mean to have courage? Maybe some of you have seen these big statues of dogs you can get. And you could put that in your front porch. Big statue of a Great Dane dog. Someone's coming up to your house. Your friend is coming. And at a distance, they see this big dog. In the dark, you don't know if that's real or if it's not. Now, if you were there at noontime and the light was shining, you would see clearly that's a statue of a dog. But at nighttime, that's an imagined fear. And when we walk in the light of God, I believe God increasingly shows us what is it truly that we need to be concerned about and what should we be courageous in facing. And one of the big ones I'll just name here this morning is, I think the root of racism is really unfounded fears. Fears that are based in our imagination. And so many people will tell you this, when you get to know someone who, from a group that you may have been prejudiced against for some reason, you realize that there are fears that are not based on reality and truth. And God calls us to relationships with people that we may not have thought we would naturally would be good for us. You know, and someone moves in next door, and maybe they have piercings of some kind. You see them from a distance, or they have a big tattoo, or whatever it may be. And in your mind, you're saying, well, those people, though, they can't be people that I'd want to associate with. And then you get to know them, and you realize any particular fear that was based in something else was not justified. God calls us to be courageous in moving past fears that are based in prejudice. And we all, so many of us, have just a long way to go in this. And a lot of times, I can't even see the kind of prejudices that I have myself. The third thing I want to talk about is with regard to light, is that light wakes us up. And I'm getting ready to experience a little bit of this as I travel across time zones. Andres Prince knows a lot more about this than I do, but the morning light is designed to wake your body up. And the darkness is intended to put you to sleep. That's the rhythms of nature that God has put into it, and it doesn't always work as perfectly as we'd like it to, but that's the general idea. When we are not walking in the light, there's a way in which we get spiritually sleepy. Spiritually sleepy. And at this point, I just want to revert a little bit to what we talked about yesterday at Naomi's memorial service. Naomi was a fighter. She fought the good fight. And the scripture she chose for her service was, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And we talked about yesterday how Naomi knew that the Christian life is not necessarily easy. That when you come to know Jesus, it doesn't mean your struggles are over. In fact, it means a new kind of struggle. Rather than fighting against God, you're fighting with God. And we talked about how Naomi fought that battle. She fought that battle in the way of temptation, as all of us do. She fought it in the regards to right relationships. She fought to be at peace with her brothers and sisters, with her family. And finally, Naomi fought she fought for truth. At the end of her life, as so often happens, she was saying, now, assure me of salvation again. What are the scriptures? She fought for truth. And I believe all of us need to fight that battle. When doubts come, to go to the Word of God for the truth of God, to be reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ. The light wakes us up. Sometimes we don't even realize when we're getting drowsy. The light wakes us up. But I want to move toward the end of this sermon with a real encouragement to us. I think so many times we underestimate how much God wants to light our path for us. We have all kinds of situations in our lives, and we tend to have low expectations of how God can light our path. Maybe you have a financial situation. And what we naturally do is revert to human wisdom and rather than turning to God for direction. Maybe you have a professional issue, a job-related issue, and our tendency is to use our own rational minds to figure things out rather than coming to God and say, you show me. And I want to share a story with you that is a real reminder to me that God is faithful to light our path more than we would ever imagine. This is a story I just heard on Friday night. With the Credentialing Commission of Lancaster Conference, we interview people who are being called into ministry. And time again, I'm amazed by these stories. But here's how the story took place. There was this young man at a church in our conference, and he was at a funeral service. And during that funeral service, as he watched the pastor up front, he sensed God speaking to him like he never had before and saying, you're going to be up there soon. And he didn't want to hear that. And unbeknownst to him, at the same time, his wife was experiencing the same thing. And so after the service, they're out in their car getting ready to go home from the service. And his wife says to him, something really funny happened to me during that funeral. I just sensed God saying that you're going to be up there as a pastor soon. And the husband, he chose not to even respond and let his wife know that he had the same thing. He just kind of rocked his world. He said, I had to settle with this for a while. So that's the background here. Well, sometime later in this church, they took nominations for minister. And there was one man in that church who took this very, very seriously. And he said he came before God and said, I have no idea who to nominate. No idea. And so he did something unusual. He put a fleece out to God. And I don't know what to think of this, but I can't argue with this story. But he said, God, show me who I'm to nominate by on Monday morning, the first day of hunting season. Have this person I'm to nominate get a 10-point buck. And I'll tell you the rest of the story next week. No, just kidding. And when you know it, at 9 o'clock in the morning, this guy pulls up from his church, pulls up in his pickup truck, and the man comes out of his shop and says, "All right, let's see it." He knew it was there. And sure enough, this guy had a 10-point buck in the back of his truck. You can't make this stuff up. And so that's who this man nominated for minister. It was the only nomination that came in. And this is the story they told us about this call to ministry. We never heard anything like that before. And I'm just thinking, now some of you are going to get a 10-point buck this fall, and you're not even going to tell anybody because you're afraid you're going to be dragged up here to be pastor. It's kind of a crazy story. But I believe I've seen enough to know that God does amazing things that are kind of absurd sometimes. And the point of this is not that you put fleeces out like this and make these kind of prayers to God necessarily, but that God is far more faithful to show us the way than we ever imagine. What are you dealing with right now in your life that maybe you're trying to use your own brain, and our brains are good, but you're trying to use your own wisdom to figure it out? What about coming before God like this man at this church and saying, "God, I have no idea who to nominate. Show me who it is. And I want you to be really clear about it." And God is faithful to show us. God is faithful to help us distinguish good from evil. God is faithful to show us maybe that thing we're afraid of, that God is saying, "No, that's actually something in your imagination. Proceed with courage." Maybe there's a decision you're trying to make in your life, and God is saying, "Plead with me in a new way for clarity. Plead with me for direction." Maybe it's a medical decision you're trying to make, and you say, "What do I do?" And God is saying, "Plead with me. I will shine the light on your path for you." The good news of the gospel is Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." There's so many references to light. And so often I think we find ourselves working in the dark. And God says, "Do you have any idea how much light I'm going to shed on your situation? How much light I want to shed on your path? How much light I want to give to you so you can discern what is best and what is right?" It's such good news. But it requires us confessing to God that we're blind. I am blind and I need to see. And then our testimony becomes, "I once was blind, but now I see." God wants to do that in all kind of ways in our lives. May it be true for you. God bless you richly. May we walk in the light. Lord God, shine your light on us. And Lord, I want to personally confess how much a tendency I have to slowly move away from the light. And I can be unaware of issues in my life that are dangerous to me spiritually. I can be unaware of things I'm imagining that I should be afraid of, but I just need more of your light to comfort and to give me courage. And Lord God, I just pray that you would help us to cry out to you and show us in a new way how much you long to show us the path. Build our faith as you answer our prayers with guidance and clarity. Thank you that you are the light of the world, and we want to walk in your light. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
For a response to this message, we're going to sing a song that might be a bit new, but it's one that we want to be using here in this Lenten season. And it's
continue to do as his representative to is a part of this. Enhancing the relationship between Christians in other countries, leaders in other countries, and helping in their growth as they, in turn, can help us see things in ways that we have not seen before. So I invite the leadership team to come forward as we pray for Tom, and I invite Jen, and if any of the children want to come forward, that's up to them. But as we just come forward, the leadership team, and Jen and any of the children
who want to. And one of the things I will show, if you want to see the folks we are going to be blessing here, this picture you can't see from where you are, but I'm going to sit it up here. There are seven people in this picture. The five in the middle are the new bishops. This is an ordination that we'll be there to witness. And the two on the end who are wearing purple, they already are bishops.
It's Spirit. And I thank you for the opportunity that Tom has to represent our conference, our church, and you, O Lord, as he affirms the leadership.
That means a lot to me. It really does. Thank you. Are there other things we can be praying for? We want to be praying for Kervin Buchan, who I understand had a fall last night. So just continue to pray for Kervin and Lois. This is a difficult journey for them. So pray for Naomi Weaver as she continues to recuperate from surgery. She's resting, and I don't know if Lloyd wants to say anything about that. There's Lloyd. Yes. Okay, well.
His children were home from school, I'm sure, but he was sitting in the hospital. And so thank you, Pastor Tom, for being there for us. And we know you had a very busy week, so bless you as you go this week, too.
Thank you, Lloyd.
This is Jennifer Esselman, and I just also, I know Tom had mentioned the women's retreat, but just a reminder, I was just thinking this morning, there may be some of you that have never gone to a women's retreat. There may be some of you who may be feeling like, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like, and we're all different. Some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts, and you might feel like, well, do I really want to be with people for that long? I guess I would just say, just an encouragement for everybody, pray about it. And I think it really could be a great opportunity for all of us to be encouraged. We're all at different stages of life. Different things are going on with us. But I just think God could really use it to draw us close together as women, and also just to minister to each of us where we are. One of my favorite verses is from Zephaniah, and I just thought of it this morning because I just feel like God really wants to just really show each one of us as women how loved we are by him. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So just as an encouragement to think about it, we'd like, if you could, that registration could be in by next Sunday, although it's actually pretty flexible. So think about it. And if you can get your registrations in, if you have any questions, feel free to talk to me or Mag or Kathy when they're back as well. Thanks.
Well, this is Charles Bauman. One of the things I do in my role at Green Pasture and Parochial Medical Center is I go out to people's homes often in the evenings. And one of the essential things I carry is a small flashlight, because I go to homes that don't have electricity, and it's really dark. Mm-hmm. You can stumble. And I'll give you the same advice, Tom, when you go to Africa. You'll be in places that don't have electricity.
Right.
Take a little flashlight along, mm-hmm. and make sure you have a light to go your way.
Yeah.
And I think your sermon today on the Jesus being the light of the world is so appropriate. The second thing I would say is not to take with you, but take good listening skills.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the tempting thing to do is go there because you've went so far, you need to perform and make your time worthwhile. I think that, you know, just sit back and listen to cues, read the nonverbal, even though it may be in some other languages, just listen.
Good advice. Thank you, Charles. Charles and I have this memory when we were in Central Asia and we had no electricity. And at night, if I'd be getting up to go to the bathroom or Charles was getting up, the other one would just lay there in bed and just say, oh, this will be interesting. Let's see if they find their way without bumping into anything. So Charles, remember that, walking around in the dark in that room there.
Andres Prince here. Thank you to all who were praying for me during this trip to Egypt and Turkey. On Thursday, on the way back, we stopped for several hours in Istanbul, and James Wenger was there and asked me to please send his greetings, and Melanie as well, to the congregation. It was a very good short visit there, and the time in Cairo is also very productive, much appreciated by our hosts, who were the Archbishop of the Episcopal Church there in Egypt, Bishop Munir Anis, who wanted to have David Schenck and the Muslim author present to help to highlight the importance of Christians and Muslims working at understanding each other, at befriending each other. And it was a privilege to be there and to see Muslim imams and leaders, quite a few of them, and then Christian pastors, Coptic priests, others, listening to the story of how David Schenck and Badr Katarega had come to write this book, A Muslim and Christian Dialogue, and the years since then, and the wonderful effect in God's providence that this book has had in different situations around the world. So thank you for your prayers, and receive James Wenger's greetings as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Andres. Good to have you back, and Andres is preaching at Fairmount this morning. So, yes.
Pastor Tom, thank you for the message. And I want to pray for my friend Oi Hershey, as he is lost his mom.
Okay. He is with his mom.
Ori's mother is aging.
Okay.
In her aged days.
Yeah.
And he's spending time with
her. Right. Thank you, Donald. We'll pray for Ori's mother. Grace, we're going to be praying for you with your presentation tomorrow night. So, senior presentation. Grace, we're going to pray for you.
Hi, this is Audrey Groff. I was in Goshen, Indiana for a meeting of the alumni board, and very thankful for safe travels. Also, would like to request prayer for Emily Evans, who has been struggling with probably what is a concussion. She bumped her head, and she's had some performances, and she had a recital that she had to do. Jim and Glenda are on their way home now, I think.
Yeah.
So she seems to be doing better, but if we could just remember Emily in our prayers, and also Jim and Glenda for safe travel.
Thank you. Thank you, Audrey. Yeah. Let's come to prayer, and I'll be Lloyd. If you want to come, Lloyd will be sharing a benediction after the closing prayer. Lord God, we come to you, and we bring the many things in our lives, and we know certainly there's many things that could have been mentioned today that haven't. And so right now we just lift all those unmentioned things to you. You know every detail of those. You know our needs. So Lord God, search us and meet us at our place of those needs we know and those needs we don't know about. We are needy people. We pray for Emily. We pray for healing for her. We pray for Jim and Glenda as they support her and as they walk with her. We just pray for healing. We pray that you would just, any of the details of this concussion, Lord, that you would just touch her and bring complete restoration and protection. We pray for Ori Hershey's mother. We lift her to you at her time of need. We pray for John Zimmerman. We pray for Naomi Weaver. We pray for Grace Moore as she has her senior presentation tomorrow. We ask that you would give her confidence and poise and everything she needs, that you would surprised her with the ability to just be relaxed and to enjoy that experience. Lord, we pray for Mel Martin, continued healing for him as he recovers from open heart surgery. We pray for Jerry Martin as he grieves the loss of his loved wife, Naomi. We just pray you'd watch over him, be with Bob, and as they live there together in Akron. We pray for Joyce and Donnie and Barry and the rest of the family. Lord, we pray your comfort for them at this time. Lord, we thank you that you care about us, that you see the sparrow when it falls, and that you also therefore care even so much more for us. We look to you for direction. We look to you for wisdom and counsel. We thank you that your light brings discernment and wisdom to our path. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you would stand and hear the words of the Lord sending us forth. From the writer of Hebrews, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in the light of Christ.